Father, today as we gather together in your presence, we welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you came in us, but we also ask you just to be in our midst as you teach each one of us those things that we need to know. Father, as we study today, we declare, and I just declare over the people, I declare and declare over these people, that it is our heart's desire to be blessed by you, so that we might be a blessing to others. And Father, today we just receive what you have for us. We declare and we receive the blessing of the Lord as ours, and that we will walk in it in the fullness that you teach us how. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said and agreed, amen. Amen. So be it. I want you to turn to Proverbs 10:22 today. And we're going to talk about the blessing makes rich. The blessing makes rich. Do you know that, and I'm not saying it's more important, but I am using this to emphasize that the Lord sees it as important. The number of scriptures concerning money is right up there with love. And so I just want you to, us today, and I believe what the Lord wants us to begin to do is, particularly as we enter this phase, this time we're living in, as the end approaches, we want to see the wealth of the wicked turned over to the righteous so that we can do things that help usher in the coming of the Lord as we finance all the gospel things that need to happen during our time here. So that's really the reason I think he wants us to teach this one session about it. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is, and I'm reading out of my New American Standard for this one, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh or makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, let me get you just to look up at verse 21. Because sometimes when you just pick a verse out, you don't see kind of what's right around it. But it's interesting to me, on verse 21, it says, the lips of the righteous feed many. Lips feed many. How is that? Well, how have we studied that the Lord rules, and how do we rule on the earth? Through our words, through what we speak. And so I found that really interesting, that right after this, then it talks about the blessing. And then, are there people who make fun of us sometime when we declare things that be not as though they were? Look at that next line in verse 21, but fools die for lack of understanding. So, these are two topics, speaking what we believe, declaring the word, ruling in that manner, and finances that will cause people to question you, and if we might use that word, that you be persecuted for some of this that you believe. So the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Blessing, what does that mean? In the Hebrew, it literally means to kneel, but it's so that a blessing could be conferred. But it also could be best interpreted that you are being empowered to prosper. Now, many would say, yeah, but he's talking about things other than finances. I would say he's talking about all things. I would not limit it to finances, but I sure would not exclude finances from it. And I want you to see that the Lord's blessing is toward you. It's upon you. He said, he's the one who talks about the blessing. He's the one who introduced it. And it's toward and for us. The phrase makes rich. In the Hebrew, and I believe we looked at this last week, the Hebrew definition in one of our verses about diligence in prospering, literally means for rich, to accumulate or to grow rich. Webster defines it as abundant possessions. And then I really like this one. because it ties into a verse we'll close with today. Well supplied. That's what the Lord wants you to be. He wants you to be well supplied, not only in matters of finances so that you can have your needs met, no poverty, no lack, but abundance, but He wants you well supplied in peace, in joy, in health, and you can just go right on down the list in every area of our life, all things pertaining to life and godliness. And then He adds this phrase on the end, and we're going to see why He added it in a moment. He said He brings no sorrow or adds no sorrow with it. Now, the Hebrew word for sorrow there literally means hurt, pain, and toil. And there's one translation that actually lists it this way, painful toil. So we're going to see what He's talking about there. And it's getting into the fact that He is our supplier. And we're going to see that this is a grace that He bestows upon us. So if it's a grace, it's not about our what? Our works or our toiling. Now let's look at some of the other translations. New King James says very similar. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The literal translation says, the blessing of Jehovah, it makes rich. Now, when I'm studying, if I make a note in my Bible about the blessing, I write it in caps. Because we take this word blessing too lackadaisically a lot of times. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Sneeze, bless you, bless you. And we just, it loses its value. But when I think about what you're about to hear, that the Lord spoke over man over and over again, be blessed, be blessed. My blessing is on you. Then to me, I want that to be a major thing. And I'm going to tell you that's the foundation for all the way He provides for us. The blessing of the Lord. The Jewish Publication Society's translation says, it makes rich and in toil, and look at the way it reads this. Now, I know that it's kind of old English, but, and toil addeth nothing thereto. So you see what He's saying? It kind of fits in with what I just said, that He's saying the blessing is what makes you rich. It's not about working and working and working and working to get rich, because that kind of work really adds nothing to it. And then the final is the Amplified. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and He adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So if it's not about works, then this blessing comes to us because of what? His grace, His love toward us. So, what is our focus? Is it living under the blessing, and you see, I think, in your notes how I've capitalized it. Or is it a works mentality? And again, no condemnation, because we've all seen and heard people say some of these kind of things. Have you ever heard somebody describe themselves, well, I'm a self-made man? You know what that man is? Full of pride. He's not acknowledging the Lord's place in his life. He's saying, it's all about me. And pride is not God's way. In fact, whose way is pride? What led the devil to fall? His pride. Now, you might remember last week we studied, in our final study of diligent, we said in Proverbs 10:4, it talks about the hand of the diligent makes rich. And I've heard people say, no, see, it says if you go work diligently, it'll make you rich. But the thing I want to caution you on is, who is that diligence, or what is that, who or what is that diligence toward? Is your diligence just toward work, or is your diligence toward serving Him first? And as a result, all of your work then of your hand is blessed. It's about keeping Him what? Keeping the Lord. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom, and what? All these things, all that we're going to talk about with the blessing today, is added to you. Now, when you look at Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to look at it again in a minute, it also has a phrase in there that says, because you're blessed, everything you set your hand to will prosper. So I just want you to see how the word explains itself. And that's how we discern what the word is talking about. So I said last week, and I'll say it again, rich is not an evil word. It's not a state to be abhorred. It's not something to be shamed about. And it's also not something to be proud about. What is the emotion we ought to have concerning it? What is our mental disposition toward wealth and riches? It's about being thankful for it. And we're going to see why we're thankful, because it has an impact well beyond us. 3 John 2, and it says, beloved, I pray that you above all things. Some translation says, I wish above all things. One translation says, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health just as your soul is prospering. So what's the focus on that verse first? A prosperous soul. Having our soul and our spirit working together, aligned up, our soul renewed, and in line with it. Now, let me tell you, the word prosper there, people say, well, again, that's just prospering in everything. I agree. But the word that is used for prosper is also used in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. And that verse, Paul is telling him, I'm going to be coming to you. And he says, on the first day of each week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So what is he saying to these people? I want you to take of your income, of the blessing of wealth that you've been given, and I'm not saying any value on that, but you take from that and set aside an offering. So we see here that that word does talk specifically about financial things. So now let's just take our eyes off just finances, and let's go up a level to the blessing. I want you to look at Genesis 1, the 28th verse. The Lord has formed a man from the dust of the earth. He's breathed into man the breath of life. And the Hebrew sages would say he became a speaking spirit. The spirit came alive and the soul went into him. In verse 28, and let me say this before I read it. The very first words that mankind heard were these. And what does it say? The Lord blessed him. He spoke a blessing over the man that he's created. And I'm going to tell you, that blessing is upon us today, because his words just keep increasing and producing and increasing and producing. And what he said was, and then it says, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that is on the earth. Now let me read you the Amplified. It says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. And then listen to this amplification. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Do you see why he put vast resources in this earth, good things in this earth? For you and I, that we may do what? Serve others. Serve others. So that is just a great statement, I think, of the focus. Now, it also says to me, if I believe that word, that I don't need to be concerned about the fact of all this hysteria over climate change. If God is going to bless the earth and its vast resources are for his people, then as long as we're here, this is going to be fine. The scripture also tells us he set the boundaries of the sea. Now, if he set them, he's going to take care of us with it and in it. And the people who say, well, global warming, it's not about global warming. this earth is going to be destroyed by fire as we know it today. So it's global fire, global melting. So the first words that men heard were what? A blessing. Now, let's go to Luke 24th chapter. And I want us to get this foundation settled of the Lord's desire for us to be blessed. In this last chapter of Luke, Jesus has been here, resurrected. In his resurrected body, he's been to heaven. He's presented his blood. He's come back down. He's been with his disciples, instructing them. And then in the end of this chapter, we'll pick up with verse 50. He's just told them, stay in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power on high. So he's getting them ready for Acts. And in verse 50, I want you to look what happens. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he did what? Blessed them. He blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted or departed from them. So the first act of the Father was to bless. The last thing Jesus did in his physical body on the earth before he comes back again was to bless you. That, wow. Okay? We are intended to be a blessed people. Now, we see, and men have seen through the years, and it's what's contributed to their hatred, in many cases, of the Jewish people. That they are a blessed people because they prosper financially in the areas we're talking about today. Look at Mark 10. And grandparents and parents need to be encouraged with what I'm about to read you here. In Mark 10, the 13th verse, it says that they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. And you think, well, why was he touching them? You're going to find out. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. It didn't make him happy, did it? And he said to them, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it. Now, a lot of times we read those verses and we stop right there. But I'm telling you, for the Jewish people, this next one is the key verse. And this is something that my dad began to learn about and teach us when we had children, speaking blessing over them. And look at what Jesus did to emphasize this. He took them up, them who? Them children, in his arms, and he began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. This is why, because the Jewish people do this regularly, this is why they grow up expecting to be blessed of the Lord. And this is something we as believers ought to do. And someday, we can teach more on this, because I can take you to some of the blessings that are spoken of them, and you can see the scriptural basis. But begin to do this with your children. Begin to do this with your grandchildren. And what you're doing in many cases is you're declaring things that be not as though they were. And that will have an impact. We've seen it in our own lives. We used to bless their teachers even. And some of them we probably ought to bless a little more. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference in the life. So for those of us who are grandparents, encourage it. For those of us who have children at home, do it yourselves. Yes, you can. Yeah, yes. The question that someone is asking is, do I have to put my hands on them? No, but that is a laying on of hands is one of the ordinances that we see. It's just a way to confer. But you do not have to be there, because the words are spirit, and you can bless. I mean, we know people who have a son overseas or in Alaska or wherever, And I guarantee you, they're speaking blessing to them, and that word is making an impact. So yes, very definitely, don't be, just because you can't lay your eyes on them, don't not bless them. We speak blessing over our grandchildren all the time. So, we have this blessing so that all the earth, everything in the earth is provided so we can live a blessed life. Now, a lot of times we use this word, blessed, and we make it a multi-syllable word. That's not what I'm talking about. That has a religious connotation to it. We are the blessed of the Lord. And we're going to see that over and over. Now, at the same time, after the fall, so go back and look with me at Genesis 3. After the fall, this earth was cursed. And I want you to look just so that you can see this. And then we're going to ask ourselves a question. Verse 17, pick up there. Then Adam, to Adam, he the father said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And then look at this word. My translation says in toil. King James says in sorrow. That same word that we talked about earlier. In sorrow or in toil, you should eat of it. Eat of what? Eat of this curse that's on the ground. You mean you're going to partake of it. It's going to be about you. All the day of our lives. And then he tells him how it's going to go. Thorns and thistles that shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you were dust, and to dust you will return. So what's he telling him? He's telling him, because you did what I told you not to do, sin came, he took him out of the garden, he showed mercy to him by putting an angel up to keep him out of the garden so that he wouldn't eat from the other tree, and be that way all of us would have been cursed forever then. But he said, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to toil for it. But what do we know? Jesus.
Will you go back just for a second? So that he wouldn't eat from the other tree.
Yes, from the tree of life. He ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he did not partake of the tree of life. So if he had gone back to the tree of life and partaken from it, then all of his posterity would have been living in that cursed state that he brought about through the sin. So that was great mercy to place an angel and keep him out of the garden. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because we know we've been redeemed from the curse. Galatians tells us that in multiple places. And so we have a choice then, and the choice is ours. Am I going to live under toil? In other words, is it all about me and how hard I work and how many jobs I got to have? Or is it about me living under the blessing of the Lord? Because my spirit has been made perfect, been made holy, been made complete. The Lord dwells in there. It is blessed. And it is housed in this physical body. So we partake of the blessing while we live in this cursed earth. And we have authority over it. So we need to see that the blessing is related to that, and it puts us in the position of authority. Now let's go to Genesis 12. And we'll look to Father Abraham, because he's got many sons, of whom we are. And yes, some of you have sang that old song as well with your children. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. I'll talk about that. I'm going to read you the Amplified in a minute, and I'll share that a little bit more. Verse 2. And I will. So notice the I wills. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And so shall you be a blessing. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So let me start with verse 2 here, and let's just talk about it for a moment. I will make your name great. You remember when we did a study about lessons learned from the book of Job? One of the things we said was about Job, he was the greatest of all the men in the East. And then it immediately began to do what? List all the property, all the things that he owned. So this in the Old Testament, when it talks about making your name great, one of the key aspects of it is you being a wealthy person. So that is the implication with this. And then it says, and so shall you be a blessing. I want to convey to you the fact that we've been blessed because he loves us. But we're also to be a blessing because he loves everybody else out there. And we need to be a blessing to our church. We need to be a blessing to the body of Christ, which is the church. We need to be a blessing to others. Not that we can provide everything everybody in the world needs. We're not the provider. He is. But we can be a blessing so that the scripture talks about provoking the Gentiles to jealousy. And then in the New Testament, it also talks about provoking the Jews to jealousy. So we've got both. So we are to be a blessed people as the church, as the body of Christ. Now I want to ask you, and I'm going to tell you too, this is a choice that you have to make. It comes with mind renewal. Was Abraham a blessing? Yes. Lot was the first one that comes to mind. Lot was blessed because of who he was with. So that you begin to see who you hang around with makes a difference. Now, Lot was not smart because Lot was willing to depart from Abram. And what he should have done is said, I'm going to sail down so our guys can stay here together because I know the source of my blessing is because you're blessed. Not only was he blessed, did he bless Lot, but he used his prosperity for others. In Genesis 14:16, he said, he went out and he, when the kings took the people where Lot lived and the other kings that were around there, he went out and did what? Took his men and went back and brought them back. And look at what he said in verse 16. And he also brought back all the goods, all back with his relative Lot, with his possession, and also the women and the people. He used this his prosperity and being able to have fighting force in his tribe to go rescue others. So he's doing this, I believe, over and over. Now, in this vein, I want you to look at verse 22 of 14, because he would not, the king of, one of the kings said to him, Sodom, said to him, give me my people and you take all our stuff. And he said, no, not doing it. And look at 22. And Abram said to this king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that's yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. What is he doing here? He's acknowledging his source. He's acknowledging the fact that it is the blessing of the Lord upon him that has made him rich. Now, I want to say that one more time. He is saying, it is the blessing of the Lord on me that has made me wealthy. And he also, that same blessing, said what? And thus I'm going to be a blessing. So that was a big focus. Now verse 3 in chapter 12, if you go back there, says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And then this is a key phrase, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, this verse is not talking about Abram's going to provide wealth to everybody in the earth. What is it talking about? The major blessing of him was that he began the lineage of Jesus coming to this earth. What a blessing that is. Now, I want to read you the Amplified versions of 1 through 3. And there's a couple of points I want to make here. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself. This is added or amplified. Go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I would show you. Why would he tell him to go to another area? If he had stayed there, he may have prospered because of what his family had. But he's telling him, I can take you to a new level. But he's really telling him, I'm taking you somewhere else so you can only say, the Lord has prospered me. Sometimes the Lord separates us so that he can prosper us. Then he says, I will make, and I want you just to kind of count these. Number one, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Number two, with abundant increase of favors, and I will make your name famous. Number three, and distinguished. And number four, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Dispensing good to others. That's what we've been called to good works to do. That is one aspect of them. Now, oh my, how blessed. Genesis 24. The thing that I wanted to point out here, this is when his servant, the unnamed servant, we could talk about that a while, but we're not, the unnamed part of it, goes out to find Isaac a bride. And in verse 35, he describes how the Lord has blessed him. And he says, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he's become rich and has given him, and I just want you to notice this, flocks, plural, and herds, plural, and silver and gold, and servants and maids, and camels, plural, and donkeys, plural. So the blessing on him didn't just give him a little. For him, it gave him a what? A lot. Now, turn over to 26. And I'm going to go through this one quickly. You can teach on this one chapter for a full hour. There's a famine comes in the land where Isaac is, in verse 1. And he's there in the Lord speaks to him in verse 2 and says, and the Lord appeared to him and says, don't go down to Egypt. That's what your dad did, and what you know what he brought back, Hagar, and what ensued there. And he says, stay in the land which I tell you. Sojourn in this land where the what? The famine is. And I will be with you, and I will bless you. And then in the rest of 3 and 4, he basically speaks the same blessing that the Lord spoke to Abram, that the Lord spoke to Adam, over him. So what are we seeing? That blessing of the Lord is going down the line. And then verse 5, and we talked about in our study on diligence, that your diligence can impact others. And he's doing this according to verse 5. Why? Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So of all these blessings and all his descendants being blessed, it propagated down because of Abraham's diligence to the Lord. Now, he goes in this land. It's a famine. And let's pick up in verse 12. And now, Isaac sowed in that land. Why would you sow in a land when there's famine? Because the Lord told him to. The Lord told him. How about if I say it this way? He could sow because he's blessed of the Lord. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Do you reckon Isaac thought, how much should I sow? Or did he just sow all he had? I don't know the answer to that, but I guarantee you, there was a time when he'd say, well, maybe I just ought to sow a little, because I'm sure the devil was working on him. But he sowed. I want you to see his 100-fold return was based on what he sowed. We found that since we retired particularly, that some of the biggest sowing opportunities the Lord has presented to us was in times of when the economy was going down, when it looked like famine. And what is the Lord doing? He's given you an opportunity for the blessing to work on you and for you to express your trust and confidence in that blessing working on your life. So he sows, and 13 says, and he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. And then 14 describes what he had, flocks, plural, herds, plural. So much so in 14 that the Philistines did what? Envied him. And then look at 15. Now, one of the reasons he was blessed because the Lord showed him wells, and they had dug the wells again that were dug in the days of Abraham, his father. But what did the Philistines do? They filled them up. Back even with Abram, they filled the wells up. And they're envious. And we're going to see they're now envious not only of Abram, but they're envious of Abraham, but envious of Isaac. People do stupid things when they're envious. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the state of our political systems today. And then we pick up. So they were so envious in 17 that they said, or in 16, they said, go away from us for you're too powerful. In other words, they're saying, we don't want to have to look at how blessed you are. And then we pick up in 18. So they moved and they went to Gerar. And guess what they did? Dug more wells that Abraham had dug. And the water came. And the Philistines did what? When they dug in the valley and found the well there? They filled it up. So this happened over and over and over again. Now, 22. So they moved away and dug yet another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. And he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So he gets to a place where he's got a well, they're not pressing him. So the wells are a blessing, but the blessing is producing the wells. You see what I'm saying here? The wells are providing water and blessing him during this time of famine. But the wells are not the blessing. The blessing is of the Lord. And look what the Lord tells them. They finally got to a place where they've got their wells and they're not driving them away. And in the very next verse, he says, he went up there from there to Beersheba. And it, why? Because in verse 24, the Lord said, go. So how often have we got to a point and we think, this is the epitome of my blessing. I'm going to stay here forever. And the Lord says, get up and move to Macon. The blessing follows us, dear ones. And so in this one, they go there. They're in Gerar. And then all of a sudden, Abimelech, the king, and his advisor, and Phicol, who was the commander of the army, came to him. And Isaac says, why have you come to me? You hate me. You sent us away. And look at what they said in 28. They said, we plainly see that the Lord has been with you. Let now an oath be between us, even you and us, and let us make a covenant that you'll do us no harm. Just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good, not totally true, and sent you away in peace. Now look at what did they see? We started out saying, we see plainly. The Hebrew says, we see. What did they see? You are now the blessed of the Lord. What did they see? The blessing of the Lord upon him. The blessing of the Lord upon them. Now go to Psalm 67 with me. These are the ones that drove them away. Yes, these are the same ones that did everything, fill up the well. So go to Psalm 67 with me. Psalm 67 is a wonderful psalm. And you can put your name in here and declare this. God be gracious to us and do what? Bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Why is God going to do these things? Why are they asking him to do it? That your way may be known on the earth, and your salvation amongst all nations. Go down to verse 6. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. And then he repeats it again. God blesses us. Why? And here's the answer. That all the ends of the earth may fear him. So why are we blessed? So that others can see. What does Isaiah 60 tell us? That they're going to see us. He says nations are going to come to our light. Kings are going to come to our brightness. And the next verse, verse 4, says all are going to come to you. Why are they coming to us? Because they see that we are the blessed of the Lord. The body of Christ ought to be a big difference, light to darkness, from the rest of the world. But too much of the church today is trying to fit in and act like the rest of the world, thinking we'll draw them this way, and all we're doing is moving down toward them instead of bringing them up to the light. This is what it's saying. And us being blessed is one way that this happens. Deuteronomy 28. So we're going to go back because this is the blessing chapter. This is what is ours. This is what is ours. Now, we looked at the first couple of verses of this in our diligence study because it talks about if you'll diligently obey. And what have we learned? This is ours because Jesus diligently obeyed. He was made the sacrifice. He was raised from the dead. And now we've been made righteous in the eyes of the Lord with the Lord's righteousness, who made Jesus righteous when he raised him. And I want you to look at verse 2. Because of what Jesus did, all these blessings shall come upon you and shall do what? Overtake you. Now, in these next verses, we're not going to study each one of them. But I want you to see and just count the times that you see blessed, or that you see the Lord will. And so I'm just going to read down through them, not reading all the verse. I'm just going to read these phrases and you can look. And I'm going to be starting in verse 3. Blessed shall you be. Blessed shall you be. Blessed shall be your offspring. Ground. Verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket. Verse 6. Blessed shall you be going out. Blessed shall you be coming in. verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing upon you. Everything you put your hand to. That's the verse that has that. Verse 10 tells us why. See, this is exactly what was in we just saw. So all the, in Psalm 67. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall revere or be afraid of you. The Lord will. And it says, make you abound in prosperity. 12. The Lord will open for you his storehouse. Why is he doing that? To bless the work of your hand. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only be above and not beneath. And there's a lot there that we need to talk about, but that's not for today. But I'm going to tell you, the verse above that says, you're going to be so blessed, you're going to lend and not borrow. And I'm going to tell you that ties directly with being the head and not the tail. Because when in the curses, it's just flipped. And it uses the same phrases there in a reverse manner. And when you are subject to another through debt, they're leading you. You're not in the lead. And you're not allowing the Lord to lead you. That's why he talks about debt a great deal. Now I want you to turn to Jeremiah 13:11. And many of you have not heard us teach on this one verse. But this is a verse that the Lord gave me to teach over and over here. So I'm sure we'll do it at some time later this year. Verse 11 simply says, for as the waistband or the belt clings to the waist of the man, So I have made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah, both all the northern tribes and southern tribes, to cling to me. We were made to seek him, to pursue him, and to cling to him. That was the way that he created us to be. And why has he done that? That they might be, talking about the Hebrew people, and now we can say this applies to the church, that they might be for me a people for renown. Now, what does renown mean? Noteworthy. How about if we say your name has been made great? For praise and glory. But look at this next phrase. This will not happen unless you participate in the receiving of it. But they would not listen. So the reason I believe he's having us teach this today is so that we can answer the question, will we listen? And that's why I made some of the declarations that we will. And my answer is yes, I will listen. I want to be blessed, so I am a blessing. Now, go to Matthew 25. Some have said, you know, well, the Lord didn't have anything, so he didn't even have a house. I don't know that I agree with that. But he said he just wants you to be willing to go and in whatever state you're in. And one of the scriptures they use is in Matthew 25, and it starts with verse 14. And I'm getting ahead of myself because what I was just really talking about is Luke 10. We'll get there in a minute. I'm not going to go back. But in this verse, and we talked about it last couple of weeks ago, that this is where the Lord talked about a master who entrusted to his servants 5, 2, and 1 talents. And two of them did what? They were good stewards of what he had given them, and they reaped a profit from them. And what did he tell them? He told the two, well done, you've been faithful in little, I'm going to make you rulers over much. Now I want you to notice, they had two different amounts given, but they both got the same reward. It's not about how wealthy you come. It's about how well you steward what he's given you. And that's the key way wealth comes. They were judged for their faithfulness. And what happened to the one who went and out of fear of not having anything, of losing it, buried it, what happened to what he had? It was taken away from him. Now, I don't want you to fear this. We've all made mistakes in the way we've stewarded things. But this is a tendency that you can see in people when they are not good stewards of what they have. And I want to show it to you in the book of Haggai. So if you'll turn there. Haggai, the first chapter. And I want to read to you first the 5th verse. Right here in the middle of it is where we're going to start and we're going to back up. Now therefore, the Lord says, and let's say to us, to you and I, consider your ways. Well, the question then is, what ways am I considering? And so let's go back to verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people says, the time hasn't come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Now, what is that? What are they really saying? They're saying, we're not giving resources. We're not giving out of our well-suppliedness to the house of the Lord. No, it's just not the right time. Yeah, it may come, but I'm not going to give today. And look at what the Lord says then, when it's just not right now. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? And that takes us right back to consider your ways. So then he tells them that. And look at verse 6. You've sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there's not even enough to be satisfied. This next one amuses me. You drink, but there ain't even enough to get drunk. You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. And this one is a key. And he who earns wages to be put into a purse with holes. You see what the Lord is saying here? And then look at the next phrase after that, verse 7. Consider your ways. So is our way trying to do it our way, or is our way of life and being prospered in this life his way, operating under the blessing instead of trying to do it ourselves? What did we start with? It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and it adds no sorrow or toil to it, meaning all the sorrow, all the toil, all the hard work. You may do that, but if you're not doing it in conjunction with him, if he's not your focus and you're trying to earn, and trying to get rich or make myself rich, then what are we going to see? You're going to be like the people here who didn't have enough. Why? Because it's just like I'm getting more, but the more I get, the more it goes away. And we've all been there. Now, today is not really focusing on things that the Lord's told us to do, a lot of the practical applications of it. I'll tell you, I've been asked to teach in August and September on this subject for 8 weeks on a Wednesday nights. And we have instruction, but when we don't follow it, when we don't do it his way, it's just like I put it in my pocket and it goes to the ground. And we've seen that in our life when we did not do it that way. And we've seen the other way of when we do things his way, seemingly less goes farther. Everything is blessed, and that's the way I want to live. Now, the point I was making earlier, and I did it too early, is in Luke 10, the Lord sends the 70 out. And a lot of people will use this to say, see, he sent them out, and they didn't have much. They didn't need much. But I want to take a little bit different perspective of that. In the third verse of chapter 10, the Lord's telling them, after he says, the harvest is plentiful out there, but I don't have enough people, therefore you go. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And then this is the verse. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, no one to greet, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be unto you. And go down then to verse 8. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you. And heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God is not come upon you, is now come upon you. So, why do I use this verse? Because I don't believe the Lord is telling them that when you go out in my name, you're going to have to do without. I think what he's saying is, don't try to take provision by your own means. Let me provide for you while you're out. What does the New Testament tell us? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it tells us that we're what? Ambassadors for Christ. Now, when I was working and did some traveling, I got to go in the Netherlands to the ambassador's home. It was right across the street from on the property. I didn't go in the house. Right across the street from the office that our company had built. And I want to tell you, that ambassador's home displayed the blessing of the Lord on this country. It wasn't up to the ambassador. It wasn't according to what he had. It was according to what the one who sent him had. And that's the same way the Lord wants us to operate today. The same supply is available to us as his representative, as we go out and represent him to the world. so that they can see His goodness and get to know Him. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Now, we started this saying it's not about work. It was about the blessing is about grace. So, look at the first verse of 2 Corinthians 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. So, what is this whole chapter, the precept being built upon? God's grace, part of His graces. And then in 2 through 5, it basically says that out of their abundance, even though it wasn't great abundance, they gave willingly, openly, to support Paul. They gave when they did not have much to live on. They still gave. Now, let me just note this to you. Philippians 1:7 makes a statement that it basically says that their giving provided them, because they were partnering with Paul, the same grace that was on Paul. Where you sow your seeds and who you sow with is important. You want to make sure you're sowing in well, in good ground. But I want you to see what you sow is not just limited. The grace, your grace is not just limited to what you think you're worthy of. It's limited. It's expanded into the grace of the one you're sowing into. So let that encourage you. That's how we are lifted up. And then in verse 7, look what he says. But just as you abound, and what's he talking about now? He's talking about grace. Just as you abound in everything. How do they abound? By His grace. And you'll see that at the conclusion of this verse. In faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this work also. Which work of grace is he talking about? The ability to sow into others. He's saying he wants us to abound. The Lord is saying through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, that he wants us to abound in this. Verse 8 says, I'm not speaking this as a command, but that by proving the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love. So he's saying, when you do this out of the right love, this blessing is going to come upon you. And then that's the verse in verse 9 that says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So how is he saying in this chapter that we grow into abundance, into richness? By the blessing that's on us because of his grace toward us. So this is not about just you and me. It's about him. Now, we closed last week in talking about diligence in riches with 2 Corinthians 9:8. So let's go back there. And I think you'll see how this all fits together with this verse. It says, God is able to make all, say it with me, the next word, grace, abound to whom? To you, to me. Always, talking about you, always having all sufficiency in all things or in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. This is the work of the blessing of the Lord. If you ask me for a definition for what it means to be rich in terms of finances in the Lord through the blessing, that's the verse I'm going to use. Now, there are different levels of richness in this room. There's different levels of wealth. And what did we see earlier? That the one with two and the one with five had the same reward. It's about what you do with it, not how much. Are we doing what he's telling us to do? He doesn't tell everyone, empty your pocketbook. And we've got to be diligent to hear the voice of the Lord. Now look at verse 9. And as it is written, so he's still talking about verse 8, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. That's things we're supposed to do. His righteousness abides forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So let's stop there. Part of the abundance that we're given is to be what? A portion of it is to be set aside for seed. The rest of it is to be for us to consume, for us to use. What is the mistake that too many people make? How about if I say this? They eat their seed. They make bread from the wheat seed. They eat their seed. And look what he will do. When we sow and when we partake of what he's given us to consume, he says that in doing this, he's going to supply and multiply our seed for sowing. He's going to give us more seed for sowing, and he's going to increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in what? Everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. This is the blessing of the Lord in action. This is who we can be. This is who we will be when we sow and reap, when we see that we are the blessed of the Lord. Now, one of the verses that we looked at earlier in Deuteronomy, and earlier being several weeks ago, I said a lot of people have trouble with. And it said, you are blessed above all peoples. That's your decision. Do we walk in it today or not? We are the blessed of the Lord. Will I receive it so that I can say of myself, my husband, my family, whatever unit you want to pull together, we are the blessed of the Lord. And the blessed people, the people who think they're blessed, know I'm blessed. If the king of a country saw Isaac as the blessed of the Lord because everything he set his hand to prospered, how should the world see you and I? In the same, the very same way.